Amen. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Hiya. That was warm. That was friendly. Nice of smiles. Brilliant. Brilliant. So I was going to stand up here this morning, and I'm going to be talking about Joseph. We heard last week about his dreams. This morning, we're going to be talking about his character. His character, and more specifically about integrity. There are going to be moments, there's going to be light, there will hopefully be a couple of laughs, there are going to be moments that are going to be a little bit heavy, there are going to be moments when I'm going to say things that I'm going to find difficult to share with you, there'll be moments when I hopefully will equally encourage you, or maybe even challenge you. So I was going to stand up and say to you, I'm wearing this beautiful t-shirt, it was a gift, and it says psychologist, because I love cycling, and my wife is a psychologist. So it works quite well. And I was going to talk about the fact that I love cycling. I love coffee. I love sport. I love my family. And I love my wife specifically in that. And I love God. And then I realized that actually the word love sometimes can be a little bit too static. I love them. Brilliant. That's it. Job done. Great. I do that. Was actually what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better at loving my family. I'm trying to get better at loving my wife. I'm trying to get better at doing my job. I'm trying to get better at loving God. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to develop. I'm trying to mature. I'm trying to be becoming a better cyclist. That's really hard work. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not the other things are really easy. And I'm like, yeah, great. It's just the cycling that's difficult. But the idea of getting better at something, to be growing in it, means you have to practice. You have to work hard, which means in cycling, I have to cycle further, faster, and then it hurts your legs, but you carry on, and then you get better, and you go, great. And I've got a friend who's, he's a young person that I mentor, and he's only 16. He is so fit. I mean, he's a skinny little rake of a guy, and he climbs up these hills like there's nothing there, and I'm coming and going, hang on a second. I'm sweating buckets and trying to get in behind him, but it's tough. It's hard work, but I want to get better. Now, I say that because I'm working hard at trying to get better at sport, be fitter, be healthier, be a bit slimmer. I'm trying to get better at being a husband, and I'm constantly reminded inside my ring, it says the Corinthians 12 verse, and the idea of loving, and what does it mean to love sacrificially, and that's a real challenge. And actually, I'm trying to get better at loving God, and I've had a really difficult couple of weeks. I found myself feeling very distant from God. And what do you do with that when you feel distant, when you don't feel close to him? How do you keep on going? It's really hard because in my job, I'm a director of Youth for Christ. So it's kind of my job to share God with people, which is like, oh, right, but I don't feel so close to him right now. But does that mean I can't talk to you about him? Or does that mean the truth about who he is? Well, do I believe that? Well, yes, but I don't feel so close to him right now. I grew up with a band called Delirious. Don't know if you've heard of them or not. They are so cool. And there's one song, and it says, sometimes you feel closer than my skin, sometimes you feel further than the moon. And I think I've had a couple of weeks of feeling like he's further than the moon, and that's really tough. And Neil asked me quite a while ago if I'd come and speak, and I was like, yeah, brilliant, I'm really enthusiastic, I'll do really well at that. And then I've had a really tough couple of weeks going, I don't want to do this. I don't want to stand up and just be, I don't want to fake it with you guys. I don't want to be like, yeah, God is feeling really close, it's really exciting, it's all going really well, and life's amazing, and you should just be amazing too, and it's all brilliant and great, and I'm quite good at being kind of the radio voice of hype. But actually, I can't talk about integrity and then fake it with you guys. So the context is, I have a desire to grow closer to God, but I'm feeling not as close as maybe I have in other times. But actually, looking at Joseph and the story and getting into it has been good, but hard. So we're looking at Genesis 39. And I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to crack on from there. Now, Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, the captain of the guards, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw the Lord was with him and that God caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him. He made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of God was on all he had in his house and field. So he left him in charge. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Now, Joseph was a handsome and good-looking. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eye on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me there here, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything in his, anything he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or to be with her. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw he had fled his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called out to the members of her household and said to them, "See, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came in to me to lie with me. I cried out with a loud voice, and when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Then she kept his garment until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came in to me and to insult me. But as soon as I raised my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." When his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way your servant treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. I love this proverb here. Proverb 28, verse 6 says, "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways." It challenges me because it says, better is a poor man who walks. The idea of keep on walking, keep on moving in your integrity. It's not just a one-off decision going, "Great, I made that one decision. Now I have this thing called integrity. I'll put that as a badge on my chest and just carry on, and it doesn't matter what I do." To keep walking is to keep moving and to keep on making decisions. I was in YWAM for a while, Youth with a Mission. I got the opportunity to go over to Cameroon, and it was a very real risk that we might get attacked or something might happen to us. And I was really nervous, thinking, "Well, what happens if I die?" I was like, if someone put a gun in my face and said, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he was?" And I go, yeah. And you said, "Are you willing to die for that?" The idea that I'd be able to stand there and say yes, knowing that right there and then they'd kill me, I'd be like, I was okay with that. I was like, yes, because I would die knowing that that's what I believed. But the difficult thing about that is that's a one decision. Actually, it's quite a lot harder to live day in, day out with so many decisions that we're faced with every day and try our hardest to make each and every one of them honor God. To make a one decision, going, "Yep, I'm willing to die for that. Bang, done, great." But actually, every day, every decision, every relationship, that is a lot harder. But to have integrity, to be a man of integrity. We just finished watching a series called The Good Wife. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's wow. We just finished it, so I'm not going to, no spoilers, you're all right. But the mess this woman gets herself into. And we call her a good wife. But the idea of not walking integrity, and then it's like, oh, no, I've got away with it. It's going to be all right. And, oh, now it's going to catch up with me, and someone else has found out about it. And how do I cover that up? Well, how do I cover that up without it pulling the covers off, actually, that I'm then actually doing this? And how do I stand in court and be honest with the fact that I'm lying? And oh, my goodness, the mess. Because actually one lie leads to other lies, which then you use other lies to cover up the first lies, and it gets away from you so quickly. You know what? It's much easier. Just live with integrity and be honest. Brilliant. If it was only that easy, great. We'd all do it. But yeah, gets herself in a right mess by lying, cheating, swindling, and not actually finding that she can trust anybody else either. So there's a game. It's called Higher or Lower. What are we going to do is we're just going to go quickly go through a little bit of the story. It's a bit of back context to Joseph. And the idea is you get to participate. Oh, yes. What I would like you to do is to be able to point to this side of the room if you think it's a higher, it's a better situation for Joseph, and point to this side of the room, not any disrespect to you guys in any way, shape, or form, if you think it's a lower, because I won't be able to see your arms if you get higher or lower that way. Okay, so Joseph had 10 brothers. Okay, so higher or lower? Higher over this side, lower. Do you think the idea of being born and having 10 brothers is a good thing or a challenging thing? Okay, majority pointing to the, lower. So some people think it's a good thing, and the idea of, why is it a good thing? You're not on your own. So you got family. Yeah, okay. Why is it lower? What's You're never alone. The idea of finding space. Yeah, okay. Well, okay, we'll get to that. So his mum was Rachel, and she couldn't have children until she had him. But it was a dysfunctional family. He had one dad, but there were quite a lot of women having kids with this guy. So higher or lower, the idea of having one dad and quite a few different mums and people around in your family, what do you think, higher or lower? So higher this way, lower. Yeah, I'd agree with that. That's going to make things quite complicated. The fact that actually, your mum's not quite as important as my mum. Well, actually, your mum was a slave. Well, no, your mum was not. And how that? So that's going to make things quite difficult. His dad, I guess, was about 91 when had him. So higher or lower to have a dad who's 91 years old? So this way you think it's a good thing. This way you think it is quite a challenging thing. Okay, yeah, he's not going to be able to kick a football around with you too much at 91, really, is he? Plus side, the wisdom that guy's going to be able to impart to you, the stories he's going to tell. I'm with you on that one. That was nothing. But talked about having lots of sheep and cows. So he was born into a fairly wealthy family. I think they probably would have had quite a lot. So being born into a wealthy family, is that a good thing, or is that like a higher for him, or is that a lower? Oh no, wrong way around. Higher that way. Sorry, lower is this way, isn't it? Higher. It meant he would have had quite a lot. And we heard last week a little bit about the fact that actually he. He got given, he was his dad's favorite. That's an interesting one. Higher or lower? To be your dad's favorite. Higher? Lower. Higher, lower. Lower. Why lower? Because of the jealousy. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. He was given this coat, the coat with the long sleeves. We heard about it last week. The idea that meant that actually you're never going to have to work. You're going to be someone who's kind of set apart. You are my favorite. Brilliant. Was the dad setting him up to fail with that by saying, you know, you're not going to do this? Like almost parading him in front of all his brothers and saying, look at you. Like, you're like, I don't know what kind of, we don't hear too much about it, but like, did Joseph like, I don't really want this coat because they're really going to beat on me for this? Or he's like, wow. And Lord, everyone like, check out my jacket. Oh, you ain't got no jacket. I'm sure he would have talked exactly like that, but I don't know. Was wearing that jacket like a good thing, or was that the dad giving it to him being like, that was really, oh, thanks, Dad. You really screwed me over with that one. But I love you, and you know, you're getting on a bit, and I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to wear that because you've chosen me. I don't know. Either way, I think it was tough. And yes, his brothers hated him. I mean, also, he told tales on them. Not great. So having so many siblings, having them all hate on you, that's pretty tough. Yeah, I would go with that being a bit of a lower thing. He wasn't. To be someone who tells tales on people, lower, not cool. Having all your brothers hate on you, yeah, really lower. That's not great either. Got given dreams by God. Higher or lower? I mean, higher, amazing that God chose him to give him those dreams. Brilliant. But then the idea that, why go and like, oh, brilliant, I got these dreams, and it means I'm going to rule. Great, hi, brothers, I know you hate on me, but yeah, I'm going to rule over you. You know, I don't know why. Why go and share it with them? Why not just keep it to himself? I think we read through lots of stories in the Old Testament, and the idea of like, if God's given you something, you don't keep it to yourself. You don't do that. You got it. This is given by God. You have to share it. So, of course, he would have gone to his family and shared it and be like, this is it. And maybe he was saying, I've had this dream. And well, actually, he wasn't asking. It doesn't really make sense to me, but I was wondering if you could help me out. And he was like, no. This is it. Pretty much, I know you're hating on me, but you know, it's going to come back and I'm going to lord it over you. No. I don't know how he sold it to them, but sold. Interestingly, then his brothers threw him in the well. Not great. Yeah, going lower. Yeah, lower point, definitely. Yeah, low point there. Being your brother's kind of going, but you're my family. You know, I know you're hating on me and stuff, and I got the jacket, and dad's loving me, and it's really awkward, and the mum's and everything, but we're family. Don't we, you know, blood's thicker than water. Don't we stick? No, we don't stick together. Right, okay. Kind of clearly getting that message. So then they're like, well, they didn't kill him. Yay, a little bit higher. Sold him into slavery. Disowned him, like he's going, no, you're low, yeah, low, sold in slavery. As you don't get that one decision going, that's it, you're dead, gone. No, you've got to live with now being a slave. You have to serve someone else. You've come from a family, you've got the coat, the idea that you're never going to have to work, and now you're someone else's property. They own you. Whatever you do, night and day, wherever you go, they own you. That's tough. I don't think we'll never experience that. I hope not. But he really doesn't seem to be too bitter about it. I mean, we don't hear too much about like his time, but the idea of like, he's like, okay, I'm a slave. I've been sold. I'm in Potiphar's house. I'm going to work hard. He didn't have the favor of God and go, brilliant, this guy. He seems to just sit in the corner and glow. I'll make him in charge of everything. No, he would have worked hard. He would have done his duties to the best of his ability. And then actually, Potiphar saw that. He's like, yeah, you work hard. You do well at what you're doing. And I'm going to honor you with that by giving you a bit more responsibility. Actually, you've done well with more responsibility. I'm going to give you more responsibility. Actually, you've done really well. You know what? I'm going to trust you and I'm going to give you the household to look after. You're doing well with that. I have no worries. You can look after everything. He didn't sit there and going, well, by the way, actually, now you sort of like, you know, say I'm doing rather well. I was wondering if you could just cut me free. Because actually, I'm really kind of a big deal, and God gave me these dreams, and I got given this really amazing coat. And I was wondering if, you know, like, get back to wearing the coat, because I mean, I'd never have to work, and I have to work for you, and I don't really enjoy it, because it means you tell me what to do, and I'm not really okay with that. So I was wondering, could we, no. He didn't grumble. He didn't do any of that. He did his work, and he worked his hardest, and God's favor was with him, and then other people saw that, and put him in charge. And then he was accused of adultery. We'll get back to the whole adultery thing in just a second. But he was accused of that. To work really hard, do your best, and then for someone's lie to take it all away in a second. He wasn't then just a slave working well. He was then a slave who was then put in prison. That's like even lower than low. The idea of being a slave but in prison is like you had no rights, you were a slave, and now you've got no rights and nowhere to go, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I don't know if it went through his head going, what happens if I kick up a fuss? What happens if I do that? Well, who's going to believe him anyway? He's a slave, a foreigner, over Potiphar's wife. You know, she was the governor's wife. They're not going to believe him. So was he kind of like contemplating it going, well, it's just not worth it anyway? Or was he like, actually, I don't know. Like, even, oh no, we'll get to that in a bit. But then he had the favor of God. Even then, where he was, the lows are low, nothing. God was like, I'm with you. Do the best you can with integrity where you are. But he's a slave in prison. What can he do there? Everything, the jailer said, everything that he got given, he had the Lord's favor. And then the idea that the jailer was like, I don't have anything to worry about because I can trust this guy. And actually, I'm going to put him in charge of looking after the other guys and everything actually in this prison because I can see that actually this is a guy who diligently works hard, does his best, and God's hands on him. Something is different about this guy. It's a big deal. Lots of higher and lows. What a journey. Now we get to read to the end of the story. Great. He didn't. It was his story living out. He had no idea. He was like, you know, Potiphar's house going, all right, I'm doing well. I'm going to do well. Maybe this is my lot. That's not a reference to lot, by the way. Maybe this is like, you know, what I have. Okay, I'll do the best I can with that. And what struck me, I was just thinking this morning before going on, I was like, actually, in all of this, he didn't have church. He didn't have other people around him to help. There weren't people that you come to, you know, come along and say, guys, I've had a really tough week, but I was just wondering, can you stand with me in this? I'm having a really tough time at the moment. Could you pray for me for strength? This is tough. This is hard. He didn't have that. He was alone. And yeah, he still had integrity and honored God. James, love the book of James. James 1, verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It didn't just happen. So going back to the adultery with Potiphar, it didn't just happen. It talked about the fact that she asked him a lot. You know, I don't know if she caught his eye. He said he was a good-looking chap. And a guy's in the room. We find this difficult, right? You know, someone gives you a look, and then it's a look and a wink, and then it's like a text, and then a thing. And do you know what I mean? That happens to you too? No? No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen to me, which is good. It doesn't just happen. So for her, it'd be like a look. Okay, hi, yeah, he's fit, nice. And then it'd be like And it grows. And the idea of actually, you know, it wouldn't have just happened, but like, right, I want to ask him to kind of, you know, come to my bed, come lie with me, sleep with me. And it was a case of like, it would have been something, a temptation that she had that she didn't take capture of and say, no, that is not honoring to my husband, to this family, to, she wasn't worshiping God, but she let it fester. She didn't nip it in the bud. She's like, it went from a desire. It grew. It grew into a, like, I want to actually do something about this desire that's growing, and I want to lie with him. And then to the point of asking a slave, a foreign slave, going, would you lie with me? And then to be rejected. Oh, it's not the case of like embarrassment, but like, oh, no, you misunderstood me. I didn't mean it like that. No. I was just wondering if you wanted to go and have a lie down. You look tired, yeah. And then it was a case of, no, she went back. She went back to him. It's like, oh, sorry, you must have misunderstood me because I asked you and you're a slave and so you sort of need to do what I say and you know who I am. I'm kind of a big deal. And yeah, you need to do this. And Joseph wasn't like a... he knew who he was. He had respect for himself. He said, you know, there was no one greater in this house than me. I understand what is at stake here. I understand who I am, and I understand the value that I have in myself. And so I am going to say no to you, because actually that dishonors you, your husband, this household, and ultimately it dishonors God. And I'm not okay with that. He lost arguably everything. He, you know, the coat, the life he would have had, everything. Why not go, well, I'm here, but it looks like God's given up on me, so what the heck, I'm going to give up on him. I don't want to, you know, maybe there's more to it than this. So I had the opportunity. I was working in Plymouth. I was going along to a church. Is that time? Oh, my days. I got to see. Thanks. You give me the nod or the tap or just a walk. Yeah, brilliant. Okay. So I was down in Plymouth. There was a girl. She asked me out. I was like, well, you're not a Christian, but I don't understand why, you know, growing up in a youth group, I didn't really understand what it meant to why would you not have a non-Christian as a girlfriend? And so I started going out with her, and we, you know, sort of growing closer together, and yeah, she was like, well, I don't, you know, rather than go on Sunday morning, why don't we go out somewhere? I was like, oh, well, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And I started drifting away from God. I was like, well, actually, you know, maybe it's not as important. Actually, you're someone who tells me that you like me. You tell me you love me. Actually, maybe that fulfills a gap kind of that I feel in myself. This idea that I'd been bullied at school and people had told me that I was nothing and worthless. Well, actually, you give me a different message, and I quite like that you give me that message. And it came to a point when she was like, actually, you know, you've got this God Christian thing, and I like horses, so maybe you could have that as your hobby, and I'll have mine. And I was like, yeah, what am I doing? What am I doing? You think this is just a hobby or something that I just do? I can't do that. And sure enough, it had been tempting to go out with her. She was someone who liked me, and it had grown into that, and I'd gone down the wrong path. And actually, I didn't have lots of close friends at the time, and I didn't have people kind of speaking to me going, Chris, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are compromising on your integrity, on your relationship with God, and that's not cool. Like, you've got to get back to what is important here. And actually, you know, I think God kept on knocking on the door and saying, no, come back to me. And actually, there's a whole nother story of a back operation and how God called me back to himself and how I thank God for having a tumor in my spine. Bit of a weird place to get to. But actually, because it called me back to him, and that's more important than anything. This idea of integrity and what it means to actually stand before you or stand before God and say, actually, I've made mistakes, but I know who I am, and actually, I'm honoring God, and I'm growing closer. As I said at the beginning, I want to pursue being a better husband, a better father, a better member of this church, a better son of the living God. And the idea of actually how it's important that we have each other. I mean, the idea that Potiphar's wife was just like, actually, you know, you come live with me. He didn't go to the other servants going, guys, did you hear about this? What is going on here? He didn't gossip about it. You know, he didn't shame her. He didn't go around like saying, oh my goodness, you heard about this person's sin. Whoa, what is going on there? My days. That is way worse than anything I've ever done. Like, God would seriously, I don't even know. Like, yeah, wow. And actually, like, we as church are going to get things wrong, and how we need to keep short account with each other, and actually how we need to not gossip about it. And once we understand something and we are standing with someone or we're praying with them, actually we don't know. And how do we best honor each other? Okay, run out of time. So love, lust, or run, I was going to quickly say he had the opportunity. Did Potiphar's wife love him? No. Was she lusting after him? Yes. Should he run? Yes. Not an easy decision to make for him, but he chose to run away. He moved himself away from the situation, and actually how removing yourself from a situation can be the best thing to do. You know, actually, this is not helpful. I've got a friend who can't, he decides that in summer he doesn't go to the beach because he actually just finds the idea of being at the beach and what people wear at the beach, he finds that so unhelpful. He's like, you know what, I won't do that. And I was like, oh my goodness, sandcastles and the surfing. He said, yeah, but for me, it's not worth it. I've got friends who are like, actually, I'm not going to go to the pub. Can we meet in a cafe? I was like, why? It's fine. He said, not for me, it's not. He's like, yeah, but you don't have a problem with drinking. I don't now, and I don't want to, so I'm just not going to go there. Do you mind honouring me in this? And they're like, all right, we'll go to a cafe, that's fine. But the idea of respecting them in that, not putting yourself in a position where actually you're so close and going, yes, but I'm not sinning, I'm not doing that, but look how close I can get to it without. Move yourself as far away as possible. I enjoy meeting up with Rob, and we used to meet up with a guy, Barry, who's leaving, so we're changing him for someone else. But the idea of we meet together, and we call it Iron Man, although Barry's wife called it your ironing time. Are you going to go and iron? And I say, no, that's not it. No, the idea of iron sharpening iron, and how actually we want to get better at loving our wives, our families, being men of integrity who love God, are growing closer to him. And we ask each other the question, so what's the one thing you didn't want me to ask you today? Yeah. And I don't know if you have someone close enough who asks you that you can be honest about. Actually, what do you not want me to talk about with you today? Well, hang on a second. I didn't want to talk about it. Yeah. Why? You're embarrassed. You feel guilty. You don't want to ask for help in getting better at being husband, father. Why not? I love in James where it says, confess your sins to one another, pray for another, be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous man is both powerful and effective. I want to be a righteous man. I want my prayers to be powerful and effective. I want your prayers to be powerful and effective. Well, that means I want you to be right with God. And if that means standing alongside you or encouraging you to have a mentor, have people you meet with, have people that you are so honest with that actually they will stand with you through the difficult times and yet, you know, celebrate with you some of the great highs as well. Brilliant. That's why we've got each other. Joseph didn't have that and yet he still had integrity. He didn't. I mean, we don't know what would happen if he ran away. hell have no fury like a woman scorned. Yeah, she was annoyed. Woo, she was annoyed and she was. But, I'm coming into close. Potiphar didn't have him go, oh, you did that to my, yeah, kill you. I don't know if he knew that was kind of what his wife was up to and how it wasn't right. And he was like, but I've honored you and I know, but I have to kind of, I have to do something. I can't just say my wife's lying because she's my wife. I can't just kill you. I have to do this. And it's with a heavy heart. I mean, he said he was angry. He was angry at the situation. He was angry that he had to do this. But I don't know. Why? So many questions. Not enough time to go into it. I don't know what your weakness is. Gold, girls, or glory. If it's gold, if it's money that you pursue, if it's girls or guys, or glory, power, whatever it is, whatever your weakness is, understand that that's your weakness. Understand that's your weakness, and then do something about making sure that it doesn't hold you back from God's best. If Joseph had slept with Potiphar's wife, would he have become a ruler over Egypt? Probably not. It would have all gone a bit Pete Tong for him. But the idea of actually honoring God and standing with integrity, whatever your situation is in front of you, the fact that one day we will stand before God for him to say, good and faithful servant. Isn't that reward enough? And yet, how much more effective can we be here if we stand with integrity and God's like, great, you are someone I can use for great things because I have given you a little and you have honored me in that despite the situation. How much more can I now give you? I want to celebrate with you for the opportunities you are being given by God to do great things. Great things doesn't mean being ruler of the country. It might be a great conversation you had with your next door neighbor. Brilliant. I want to celebrate that with you. But I want to celebrate with you. I don't want to stand with you because you've messed up. I will, because that's being church. And we do that, and we have a God who is gracious and forgives us, but I would much rather celebrate with you. And if that means right now at this point, I can say, great, find a mentor, find people who ask you the difficult questions, make sure your weaknesses don't hold you back, and you are iron sharpening iron, Proverbs 27:17. We haven't got time, but I was going to work, you know, forget that one. No man is greater than his prayer life, and I'll finish with this. No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are staying. The pulpit can be a shop window to display one's talents, but the prayer closet allows no showing off. No man is greater than his prayer life. Your prayer life reveals your character. If you're someone who spends time with God about situations and people, and you're asking God, what should I do in this situation? How should I honor you in this situation? No man is greater, no person is greater than their prayer life, because actually what you're understanding is then God's bigger picture, and you're like, great, I want to be a part of what your cosmic plan. Yes, we'll have 80 years here on this planet, but if I can be a part of millions of years and say, yeah, I played my part in that big picture, then how much more exciting is the party going to be? I've overrun drastically. I'm sorry. Thank you.